Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Would you say that... It's only week one. I don't want to put you in a bad spot at the end of week one. You did a great job this week.
You're going to put me in a bad spot?
Well, I think, you know, the unnamed producer and Anthony Gallo and I were having a conversation over some candlelight in wings. Thanks to our... What's the guy's name that brought him here?
Mitch
from Fort Lee.
Mitch in Fort Lee.
Mitch, nice guy. Good to meet him today. I guess I met him before. I totally forgot. But good to see him today. He brought us the wings that the unnamed producer owed us from his performance yesterday. But the three of us were having a conversation when you were in the bathroom or somewhere.
Okay.
That you could make an argument that the Beatles are the most overrated band of all time.
You cannot.
Okay. I'm just asking.
It's okay.
Okay, done. Move along. Ringo Starr, not a top 100 drummer.
Oh. Oh, you've said some doozies in your time, Craig. That might be the worst.
Nah, I'm just busting
top
your chops.
No, I know you are.
Top 50?
Oh, he's top 10.
Ringo, as a drummer,
as
no.
His drumming was
rudimentary drumming, though.
Stop.
It was.
Go talk to actual drummers and tell...
I am an actual drummer.
Listen, could he...
We talk about it all the time.
Could he, like, you know... I don't know, like Motley Crue, Tommy Lee, play upside down and do all the crazy fills.
I bet if he had to,
but
he couldn't.
Fitting in the song, sitting in the song, and listen to songs like Rain and Come Together.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just endless.
Would you say John Bonham's number one? Is that your number one? Top three.
Yeah, he's top three.
Okay.
I really think Neil Peart is
Are you a Max Weinberg guy?
I mean, he was okay with Conan O'Brien.
Average.
I mean, you know, he's the E Street fan, but I thought he was good with Conan O'Brien.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I just didn't like it. That's a different story, sure. Keith Moon with The Who, Neil Peart, Bonham.
Okay.
Yeah,
just asking.
But I'm a Ringo guy.
Bonham's son's a badass drummer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
He plays with some sort of Led Zeppelin.
When they did the Zeppelin, before it was the Trump Kennedy Honors. No, it was just the Kennedy Honors.
Yeah, yeah.
They honored Led Zeppelin. It's got to be 5-6 years ago, if not more than that now.
Yeah.
So they honored Led Zeppelin at the Kennedy Center Honors, right? Excuse me. And the two gals from Heart sang one of their songs. I forget which one, top of my head. And Bonham Jr. played the drums.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
He's legit.
Yeah.
He's not his dad, obviously, but he can play all the stuff his dad played. It's pretty cool. You should actually, on the way home, you should watch that on YouTube.
I'll watch that on YouTube.
Yeah. You drive home, right?
I'm driving home tonight.
Yeah, definitely watch it on YouTube while you're driving home.
I got you.
Because it's a great version of the song.
Yeah, yeah, I got you.
And I am a big fan of Heart.
I could just listen to it.
No, you got to watch it.
I could just listen to it, though.
Yeah, see, because the heavyset girl from Heart could sing.
Oh, she could sing.
Yeah. I don't know her name, but
I forget her name,
heavy,
too.
I know that. Here's John in Piermont. Johnny, what do you got, kiddo?
Craigie, welcome back.
Thank you.
Nice to talk to you, my friend.
You as well.
Only you I could share this with.
Great.
When I was single, I met a girl in the Mondrian Hotel, I guess the Sky Bar, and we went back to her room, and... We're getting to, you know, get busy.
Yeah.
And she goes, do you mind if I turn on the TV? And I said, no, turn on the TV. What do I care?
Sure.
And she puts on a movie.
Right.
And she goes, that's me.
Oh.
And it was a porn.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Did you act out the scenes?
Yeah.
No, but it was like awesome and scary at the same time because you're like.
Did she do it
because
she
thought... What kind of diseases am I getting involved with?
And she got obviously excited at the prospect of watching herself.
The thing I would do, if that ever happened to me, and thanks for the call, that's out in L.A., the place he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Mondrian Hotel, it's over on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. If someone did that to me, my immediate fear would be that they spiked my drink.
Right.
And I'm going to wake up without a kidney. Yeah, and a limp. Yeah. And I think the limp might be worse than the missing kidney.
Right.
But that'd be my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Like, and right before I pass out, she tells me who she is. I'm like, damn it, I'm in Mexico now.
Yeah, that would... Do you mind if I put on the TV? And then it's like, it must have been like a VHS or like how does she have?
I don't know.
She
don't
ordered
know.
It. She knew she maybe was on the. She knew, was on she, knew she was on the hotel menu.
I guess
knew
maybe she's very popular.
Yeah, maybe she was popular.
All right. So real quick, a couple days ago on this show, I said to you that I thought Abdul Carter's rookie season was bad, was disappointing, and I think that
terrible,
terrible. Yeah, terrible. All stuff, I used all the adjectives.
Horrendous.
I may have said. And I felt bad for you guys as Giants fans because I got the sense that collectively you guys as Giant fans have lowered your standards. Because the beatdown this decade has been so bad that you're trying to find, like we do as Jet fans, anything to grab onto, right?
As we just talked about, yeah.
So I figured that was a really good take. No one's had that take, and I thought I could back it up with the fact that yeah, we did not play great the first couple months. He got benched. He slept in meetings. He may have had a porn addiction or some other type of thing, whatever the heck it was, that he was busy doing during meetings. Yes. I don't know what the heck the guy was doing. And then, yes, the last couple weeks of the season, when they made a change, obviously Bowen's out, it looked like maybe he learned how to play football. And I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But you can't judge the rookie season on a couple of games. So I'm trying to figure out where I missed the boat so badly that Giant fans view Abdul Carter's rookie season as, let's say, a B-plus or better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that's possible. Please.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you look at the numbers, we talked about this. I don't know if you heard Tiki was talking about it, too. His rush numbers are overall rush getting after the quarterback in total rushes. He was 11th in the NFL. Not 11th in rookies. 11th in the NFL.
Yeah, how many sacks did he have?
He didn't have, what was he, have one, four and a half, something like that, three and a half, four? All right. And most of them came in the last couple games of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't have a full sack until week 13 or something.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a great rookie season for a top 10 pick.
He didn't. Yes, for a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I agree. He was slightly disappointing for a top 10 pick.
Great.
The overall numbers weren't there, but if you look at it, he beat the man in front of him. He got after the quarterback. He had speed rushes, which they determine how quickly you got the rush to the quarterback, and he was like at the top of the NFL. He was beating the guy in front of him and creating pressure, and if you watch the games, as you accused me of not doing, you said if you watch the games,
I watched every snap of every Giant game this year.
I watched plenty of games where he was having impact. He was drawing guys away so that Burns... He had other good games where he was the one who sprung Burns and the double teams and the stunts they were designed were to get Burns home and have him cause havoc. He had a nice rookie season. I wouldn't, even with those numbers, right? The 11th best rush in the NFL. I still would not tell you he had a phenomenal rookie season.
Because he didn't.
Because the expectations were for him to make an impact.
Right.
A big time impact right away, like Micah Parsons.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Okay.
But if you look at it and you watch the games and you look at some of the underlying numbers, he was a force on the field more often than you would think.
I would give you
than
this.
The sack totals would tell you.
I think his final month of the regular season, he certainly showed a lot of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's the scheme, the system, or him finally deciding I'm going to be a professional, I think maybe it's all kind of jumbled together, right?
Yeah.
But you guys are doing something that I find interesting. And I don't know why you guys are doing it. Remember you're inventing facts.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to explain it to you right
Please.
Now. Remember how when you grew up, no one talked about in baseball, whip.
Right.
Didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
War didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
We've invented terms to try to then explain why certain players are better than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It used to be home runs, RBIs, hits. Right? That's basically it. Runs scored. Right?
Yeah.
Right. All of a sudden, baseball got all complicated and invented stupid stats.
Then we got smart.
All right? Right? So football is now doing that too. What's comical to me, mm-hmm. when I have these Giants fans attacking me on social media, right, saying, oh, but his speed rushes and his articular sclerosis was a 19.7.
You saw that?
Right?
The articular sclerosis
numbers? I'm
saying
to myself, here's the deal.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here's how we judge pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
How many sacks did you have? 4. And none in the first 3 months of the season.
Right.
Okay, great. Maybe he's a great run stopper. This guy is a run stopper. He's not on the outside, obviously. He averaged 1 tackle a game.
Correct.
Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Your top 10 pick didn't have a sack for the first 3 months and averaged 1 tackle a game. Yeah. And you guys are giving me a hard time when I said he had a bad rookie season.
He didn't have a bad rookie season.
Without inventing new stats.
We're not inventing new stats. Yes, we're smart enough to recognize that just the crude stats that you have been, you know, attached to since you were attached
tackles.
To the nipple doesn't mean that those numbers aren't accurate, that you can't look at it. Here's my example, right?
Rushes as a stat.
So what? Up until 1987, they didn't count sacks either.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Make your point.
My point is,
he had a great season.
Go talk to the players he played against and ask them if he's a tough player to guard. Ask him if he's someone who's created
habit. They're not going to rip the kid.
No,
they're the same fraternity.
I'm saying in the circles of the NFL, the players who he played against are talking about how Abdul Carter is going to be a problem next year.
Okay, next year. But he was not a problem this year.
Yes, he was.
Against the Saints.
No.
Half of his pressures are in 2 games.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
Half of his pressures were in 2 games?
I'm exaggerating.
He was 11th in the NFL and did it in 2 games.
I'm exaggerating a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Most of his pressures were in 2 games.
You know why people exaggerate in discussions?
Why?
Because they're losing them. But and I'm just, look, here's the thing.
So what grade do you give him?
I give him a solid B.
A solid B. Top
solid
10
B.
pick.
Yes.
Who's supposed to get to the quarterback.
Yes.
Who didn't get to the quarterback.
As far
Got
as
it.
Play on the field,
Got
if
it.
You include the nonsense off the field,
well, you
and
have
how he
to.
Needs, all right, then I would go B minus.
B minus. Now we're down to B minus.
B minus. You got me to B minus.
I'll get you to a D by the
no,
time I'm done
not.
With you today.
He was he beat the guy in front of him. That's what football is about. You want to get down to it? Forget sacks. Forget any other stat you want to talk about. Rushes in general, anything. Here's football. Me here, you there, I push you back or you push me back.
Yeah.
He's the one doing the pushing most of the time.
Well,
that's good for a rookie.
No.
He's beating the guy in front of
he
him
had four
a lot
sacks.
More than you think. He's
he
not
didn't
getting
push
home.
Anybody around.
He's not, that's not true.
Isn't the job
he didn't
to get
home.
To the quarterback?
I understand. So you're saying that no player in the NFL that it creates pressure or creates havoc on a defense
not,
without having big time tackle numbers or sack numbers.
No, I'm not saying that. But not all pressures are the same. And
right.
Here's the stat I can't find. I searched all day because I really wanted to talk to you about this today.
Yeah.
It's one thing to gloat about, oh, he had 66 pressures. That was 11th in the league and first amongst rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's celebrate his greatness. But no one discusses what happened on those plays. Just because you might have pressured a quarterback.
Right.
Did the quarterback complete the pass 20 yards down the field? Is that a good pressure? No. Not all pressures are the same.
Okay.
Okay?
So
4 sacks. 1 tackle
a
game.
If you have the
let's
most,
put him in the Canton, Ohio.
No one's saying that.
Yeah.
So now you're now
let's
you're
give him LT's number
argument.
After all.
If he
my
has,
bad.
If
he's Lawrence Taylor reincarnated.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's Dick Butkus.
No.
I missed on that
Listen,
one. Sorry.
If he has another 11 seasons just like this one, not good enough for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, is that right?
But as far as a rookie season,
yeah.
It's not a terrible rookie season. Rookies don't normally step on the field. You're talking about expectations and what we thought he was going to be. And I think anyone in their right mind would acknowledge he was not the immediate impact player that the Giants and the fans were hoping for. That doesn't mean he was a bad rookie.
But if you say he didn't have the rookie season we expected.
Correct.
Or even, I think you said, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great rookie season. I think you said that. Okay.
I wouldn't say great, no.
Okay.
I would say solid.
So let me just go back to the first one.
Yeah.
If he didn't have the rookie season you were expecting.
Yes.
Then I'm right.
No, you're not.
He had a disappointing rookie season.
I think disappointing is fair, and if you
so, what did I say that's so actionable?
We had an argument, if you remember, about what disappointment means.
Yeah, 4 sacks and 1 tackle.
Remember
the
whole thing, and I gave you here, and in the middle. Remember, like the whole thing. I gave you. I had a bar graph for you.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
I liked it.
That's
I
what I'm saying.
It, but I liked
exactly.
It. Yeah.
Here's my point. Disappointing for the expectations that he was coming into the league with. I think that's fair. You called him. Horrible. You said it
for
was
13
a disgusting
weeks, he was.
Rookie season. He was not.
He fell
for those 13
meetings.
Weeks, he was still a very good, solid rookie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the impact player we all assumed would step onto the
now,
field. And like Chase, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He had an incredible rookie season.
I gave him an A+.
A+.
His rookie season.
Right.
Yeah.
Bo Nix. I know he went to the playoffs and won games, but he didn't play all that great. He played well.
B plus.
Right.
Rookie quarterback. There's
expectations.
Yeah.
If Jaden Daniels played like Bo Nix, he'd probably have a disappointing rookie season.
Okay. So what type of rookie season do you think that Abdul Carter had?
He had a good, solid, but disappointing based on expectations rookie season.
So I win.
No.
I win. That's exactly what I said.
You know what? Let's just argue for 10 minutes and declare you the victor.
But you came back around to, yes, it was a disappointing season.
I admitted the other day it was disappointing.
Okay, I win. It's a win.
No, it's not.
I'm taking a double.
You called him horrible. You said it was a horrible rookie season.
I have a trophy right here.
You can't.
I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank my friends and family. I win. Abdul Carter might become a good football player.
He's a good football player, and he was a good football player this year.
Average.
We were expecting a great football player. And you didn't get a great football player.
Thus, it was disappointing.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Not horrendous. Not awful.
Mm.
You said horrendous and awful.
I know.
And then you told me disappointing is just another word
for
horrendous.
It
and
is.
I disagree.
In my lexicon,
I disagree.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yes.
In week 8, what were you saying about Abdul Carter?
In week 8, I was saying, are we ever going to see the player we expected?
Because he was disappointing.
Correct.
And what was the other word I used?
Awful.
Awful.
No.
8 weeks in, awful.
Incorrect.
And when you guys, I'm sure, were talking here every
day.
Evan
Neal about was awful.
When you guys were, I'm sure, debating about, you know, the sleeping in meetings and missing meetings and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I assume you guys all acknowledged at that point, well, that's pretty ugly.
Yeah, we have a problem with our hands.
Yeah, we have a problem with that.
Yes.
Problem on our hands.
Yes.
Didn't Carl Banks get in a big fight with you guys about this? Didn't Carl Banks say Abdul Carter stunk?
Probably. No.
Or did someone else say he stunk?
No, he said...
Someone said he stunk and you guys got in a fight.
Carl also had a thing with Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, he said Dexter Lawrence stunk.
He said teams aren't respecting Dexter Lawrence the way they used to.
Oh, that's my bad. He did not say that about Abdul Carter.
No.
I don't put words in Carl's mouth.
Yeah,
that's how
it became. Then it became a thing with Dexter Lawrence and he was like, I still create double teams and all
that. All right, I don't know. That's my bad.
That's all right.
Do you know that Carl Banks once bought a Vespa from me?
A Vespa.
A Vespa, yeah.
I would love to see Carl Banks on a Vespa.
He bought a Vespa.
Like going through the hills of Tuscany on a Vespa.
My neighbors thought he was stealing it when he took it from my garage. He wasn't. I gave it to him. But yeah, he bought a Vespa for me.
How much?
It's a true story.
He bought a Vespa for me.
Yeah, I had a Vespa.
Did you give him a helmet? What color was the Vespa? Was it that, like, you know, metallic
mint green? I
want to
say silvery.
Oh, silver?
Yeah. I'm not sure if Carl still has it, but Carl Banks bought my Vespa. That's a true story.
How did that happen? And where did you get a Vespa?
I don't know.
You
I had
just
a
one
Vespa.
Day decided to buy a Vespa?
I think I probably had a Vespa deal.
You had a Vespa deal?
Yeah. I think I probably had an endorsement with Vespa. And I think I had the Vespa, and Carl was jealous that I had the Vespa, and he wanted a Vespa.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really use it. You know, like young kids at the time, like your kids' age now.
Yeah.
I was like, honey, I'm getting on the Vespa and going to 7-Eleven for that Japanese egg salad.
If I get a Vespa, it's the first place I'm going.
Sure you are.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, if you ever want to sell that Vespa, I'll buy it. And I sold Carl the Vespa.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if he still has it.
I haven't talked to Carl in a long time. Long time. He doesn't have my number anymore, and I like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He used to make fun of my man boobs. I didn't like that. Yeah.
Because
I wasn't working out a lot back in the day. Now I'm like ripped. I'm boxing and I'm lifting.
And ever since I gave you my weights, you've been working out.
I got your weights in my house.
Yeah.
That's no joke.
No
joke. Did 245 this morning on the flat bench. What's up? How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But Carl Banks used to talk about my man boobs. So I was like, I'm not talking to that guy anymore. Made me feel bad about myself.
Right. Then he got a great deal on a Vespa and everything.
And then he bought my Vespa, 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show on the Fan.